My name is John Cullen, and I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and curling. It's the story of Broomgate, how a single broom, yes, a broom, turned friends into foes and almost killed the 500-year-old sport of curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Canadian athletic performance and marijuana prohibition will sadly probably be forever intertwined in one name, Ross Rebliati.
So whether he gets the gold or not, I mean, us guys up here in Whistler are going to make him a gold medal. We're going to have
He won the race. Clearly, he's a decent Canadian and British Columbian. I'm very proud that he's from British Columbia.
It's irrelevant, you know, whether he gets the medal, I take it off him. He won.
That was the 1998 Olympics, 20 years ago. Things have changed. Rebliati eventually got his gold medal back, the stigma around pot eventually evaporated, and now, of course, it's legal. Unless you play professional sports for a living and want to use some pot to help your muscles relax after a weight session, or instead of an opioid to help deal with your pain, or to treat concussion symptoms, or even just, you know, recreationally, like everyone else. For most athletes, in most leagues or competitions, pot is a banned substance, and that's not going to change anytime soon. Or will it? There is at least one league out there looking to take the next step and bring its game into the modern era, and it's only fitting that it's Canadian. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story, and this is an episode that we couldn't get to during Pot Week, but that you probably need to hear, because when the tide finally turns in sports, that means it's turned almost everywhere. Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet looked into how professional sports and marijuana used to coexist and how they do now. So, Donovan, first of all, before even Canada ever thought about legalizing, what has been the status of marijuana and pro sports?
Taboo. We don't talk about that, right? Like, don't ask, don't tell, basically. And it I should say it is different depending on the different North American leagues, which is also kind of weird. But there is a different stance. I mean, when you look at the MLB, something that they, you know, test for, they consider it a banned substance, but they don't really enforce any penalties other than in the minor league level, where the penalties are super strict for some reason. But in Major League Baseball, as far as the professional level, unless you are really abusing the drug, it's not something they step in. Similar in the NHL, where they test it, and it's not considered something that's performance enhancing, certainly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, you can be put into the program for, and even actually in the MLB's case, you're not even tested unless someone's tipped off that you might have an issue. So that's okay. How lax they are.
So it comes from somebody observing your behavior somehow. You're late for meetings or it's affecting your performance like you would with alcohol at your day job.
Exactly, yes. And then that comes from either the PA or the league side. NFL and NBA is where it gets much more strict. You're tested in both leagues. There are fines after you're put in the program and continue to test positive. And when you're tested is odd, but they're somewhat opposite. So in the NFL, you're tested out of season. In the NBA, you're tested in season. And so basically, to me, those parameters are set up so that, listen, you know when you're going to be tested.
Right.
If you still test positive, clearly you have a problem. Many people actually have a problem with the fact that the two leagues out of the four, and the MLS has refrained from really giving out information other than saying it's an issue for them and they do test, but they don't say
how much you are. But there are differences between the two leagues that test for it and the two leagues that don't.
That's something that many people have an issue with, is that the leagues that are comprised of many black and brown people are testing and punishing for this drug. And the leagues that aren't, are not. And that actually mirrors our society, where one of the reasons why we have legalization is the fact that, you know, areas with minorities are over-policed. These crimes for marijuana and such are over-policed and over-enforced. But yet some of the white-collar crimes or even the white-collar drugs aren't enforced as heavily and really aren't adjudicated the same way in the courts. So some of that racial politics, if you will, actually, oddly enough, blends itself in the way our sports leagues look at these issues.
So I'm interested in, and we will get to what has changed in Canadian leagues in a minute, but I'm also really interested in how that kind of enforcement process goes and whether or not the leagues kind of have a leg to stand on if it comes to a legal fight. So let's say there are Canadians in the NFL and in the NBA. Andrew Wiggins, prominent Canadian basketball player, he goes back to Toronto in the off season. He hangs out. He enjoys some newly legal recreational cannabis just before he, say, goes back to training camp where he's tested and he tests positive. Can the league actually take action against that? I know they would, but what if he fought it? Do we have any idea how those battles will shake out?
Well, I mean, from the league standpoint, and it's, I mean, he doesn't even have to come back to Canada. There's nine states where, right, in the U.S. where recreationally you can use marijuana, and it's not like it's frowned upon. 64%, based on a Gallup poll in 2017, of Americans believe that marijuana should be legal recreationally. In 30 states, it's legal medicinally, and, yeah, and that's a distinction that impacts not just life, but also sports. But the leagues would say, well, listen, I mean, you could go to your local Shoppers Drug Mart or CVS if in the U.S. and get Sudafed or all types of cold medication, but you can't use them as an athlete. We have banned substances that are, in many cases, are legal. Androstenedione Dion, remember the whole,
oh, yes,
the whole talk about that when that was a big drug in the MLB? That's something that you could get quite easily.
But those are performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes.
Nobody's arguing, or at least I would like to hear the person who would argue that marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug.
Well, so there's and this is where it gets tricky, is because there's two schools of thought. So let's say that you're arguing that it's performance enhancing. I think some players would agree with you. They'd say it is performance enhancing. If I'm using it for my career, which they say they should be able to help with my soreness and my aches and pains, either prohibitively or after the fact, that, yeah, sure, that's impacting my performance, but you're actually prescribing me opioids and painkillers to help my performance. So you can't necessarily have it both ways. I'm trying to help my performance with something that grows out of the ground. You're giving me chemicals. So you can't draw that line. The league would say, well, I mean, human growth hormone is also, can be somewhat natural and is also given to everyday people. And that is a performance enhancing drug, which you can't use. The players would then say, well, we should be able to use it. And you're having this circular argument about where do you draw the line on what is performance enhancing? And that would be an interesting test case. The issue, though, is twofold. The literacy around this drug in terms of the PA and having that something you're going to fight for, right? In negotiations, you have concessions. So for this being something that we really want to fight for and possibly give up other things, there hasn't been a groundswell to believe like this is a line item for us and it's a non-starter. We need to get movement on this.
Are there players who have spoken out about it?
Many. There's been many, many, both in their career and even more post-career. And again, some haven't been able to talk about it freely in their career because they're afraid of the stigma. But many in their post-career have been able to talk about it. What would help would be if there was more science. And it's still pretty nascent as far as there is no actual conclusive test that says, well, cannabinoids will help you X percent more than all of these prescribed drugs we've given you for the last 50 to 100 years.
Yeah.
There are lots of anecdotal studies, small numbers of people who said, listen, it worked for me. But I mean, there's lots of things where people say it worked for me doesn't mean it's scientifically correct. I mean, we could go to the Goop website and find 10 different things that people say worked for them, but people also say you shouldn't actually be using. There's a university in Mississippi, which is the only university in the United States that has been allowed to grow marijuana for the purpose of studying its impact on people medically. It's something that's been prescribed medically for a while, but let's actually see what the differences are. But as far as WADA is concerned, and that's a governing body when it comes to testing in sports and in drugs, almost every version of marijuana is still banned except for a cannabinoid oil. Okay. So they've drawn the distinction that, listen, if you're rubbing this all over yourself, for whatever reason, fine. But all the other versions, they still treat as a banned substance.
Which seems kind of insane to me, because if there's one thing that we've learned here after doing several shows around legalization, it's that there's a million ways to use cannabis, and none of them are appreciably different from the others.
Right. And even if for the people who are arguing that it's performance enhancing, the reasons why they're arguing for it as performance enhancing vary. Some see it as a potential beta blocker. Like, you know, if I'm an Olympic shooter and it calms me down, maybe that's an advantage that my opponents don't have. What we're hearing from the athletes is that, forget about the physical side of it and whether or not it actually helps your aches and your pains. Many athletes are saying it helps me from a mental aspect. The anxiety that I have of performing on the bright lights, big stage, and for a lot of people, it helps me that way. And so that I don't have to self-medicate in other ways, alcohol or other vices inside of that lots of people self-medicate. The same reason, in fact, that many people in their own personal lives use marijuana. Hey, guess what? Athletes want to in the same way. And
to go to sleep after a tough day, to calm down when you're on a road trip.
Exactly.
It
and it's funny that you say that, because those two things exactly are what Brendan Shanahan, when he was working for the league, warned Gary Bettman and Bill Daly about, that they had an issue in the NHL as far as players, but often we're talking about fighters and enforcers, using pills just to do everyday things like get to sleep or wake up from sleeping or playing. I mean, Derek Bougard, who tragically is no longer here, in his last season in the NHL, he was prescribed 40 different doses, 40 prescriptions of drugs to help him get through a season. And sadly, he overdosed. So these are the things that in the National Hockey League, we've seen it. We've seen it tragically in WWE with wrestlers losing their lives early. These are the things that people are saying there's an easier alternative. And the athletes are pretty much saying, help me help you. You should want us to be mentally right and on the field as much and as best as possible. And from our standpoint, we would like to extend our careers. Actually, many athletes have said that they elected to retire early because it would allow them to then use cannabis in all its different forms for their issues without any shame, stigma, or any problem.
Are there any leagues that are moving forward on this, especially now that it's legal in Canada? I get the big, big ones. You know, there's all sorts of money involved. They're cross states, they're international, et cetera, et cetera. But do we have any examples of places where we're taking a more proactive look at what this means?
Yeah, well, as much as I criticize the NFL and the NBA for being unfairly strict on this issue, the NFL and NFLPA have talked about the fact that they would like to study it. They'd like to use their players as research to get some understanding. And I think it's something all leagues should do to, one, find out how much of your workforce is using it, why they're using it, and allow that to educate you when you're looking at legislation and you're looking at remedies. Adam Silver, who's extremely progressive, he was
commissioner of the NBA.
Yes, he was front of the movement as far as legalized betting and gambling in the NBA. Now, let's be honest, part of that was about consumerism and the fact that he wanted to tax the ability to do that. But he's said that he's been on the record as saying it's something that he wants to look at, think about more, study, and he's open to it at least being something that they, at the very least, decriminalize, to use a proper phrase, if not legalize, which there's a distinction there. So one thing to say, you know what, we're not going to test you, we're not going to care. There's another thing to say, we're going to arm our doctors to be giving you edibles, you know, at halftime if you're having an issue.
That sounds kind of insane to me just to hear you say it, but at the same time, there's nothing that suggests that that shouldn't be okay based on the current laws in Canada anyway.
Well, I mean, you're going to have fans and stands who can have them at halftime of a game if they want. I mean, technically, Nick Nurse, the coach of the Raptors, if he could be popping them on the sideline for and if it helped him deal with his stress as far as managing timeout situations, that's something that he could do just like he was chewing gum.
I would like to see him draw up some plays. right after doing that.
Well, it's funny because, and again, when we're talking about removing some of the stigma, you know, many things that the athletes themselves have been arguing for is allow us at the very least to use products that are based in CBD and not THC. And so you're not getting those psychoactive effects. You're not saying, okay, well, if my athlete's using this, he's going to get the munchies and he's going to be eating or he's going to feel high. He's just getting the benefit from a product like hemp as opposed to a product like, you know, traditional weed and marijuana. We're going to get to a place where we look back and we say, well, it's odd there was a day when, you know, a Canadian snowboarder for a short period of time lost a medal because he was allegedly at a party and
secondhand,
you know,
smoke, Donovan. It's a thing.
Exactly. And the league, though, who has at least tried to be or has talked about being the most progressive is the CFL. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi has said to me and others, listen, our door is open. We want to talk about it. We want to study about it. The CFL does not test currently for marijuana, which is actually different than the Canadian Ethics Board in Canada, who does test. So all the university athletes, I'm sorry, it's still a banned substance for you. I didn't realize how much of an issue this was for the NFL when they sent biweekly at random people to test Ricky Williams here in Toronto when he's playing for the Argonauts. He was a player that was still in the substance abuse program, but he wasn't a current NFL player. He didn't have a current obligation to a team, but they were spending money to fly two people to Canada for weeks and weeks and weeks on end just to test him. And it smacks you in the face. Like, isn't there a better use of that money? Could you be giving that money to, I don't know, some of your retired players who are struggling with benefits, or funding research for head trauma, or funding research on whether or not cannabis can help your athletes? Give it to charity. Do anything. Give it to Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Do anything with that money that you're wasting. And that's just one example. He had to literally go to Australia just to have some peace and lived in the middle of the desert just so that he could smoke a joint in peace without worrying that someone's going to knock on his door and ask him to pee on a cup. The sport of football, and we've talked about this many times, is so, so conservative.
Yeah.
These things are not related, but they somewhat are. And I mentioned Kaepernick, that everything is legislated based off of those conservative values. And I feel like this issue, and I'm not even, I'm somewhat of a square. I've never used marijuana or any drug in my life, but I can still see how hypocritical it is that based on, you know, values that we had 10, 15, 20 years ago, the sports leagues like the NFL are still trying to project these morals on us when the average fan is probably using some sort of either medicinal or recreational
probably
drug themselves.
Smoking a joint before watching the game, or at least some of them are.
Yeah.
Thanks, Donovan.
Anytime.
Donovan Bennett of Sportsnet, an occasional guest host of this podcast, which is the Big Story Podcast. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Check out some of our other episodes. Suggest some. You can do that on social too, at Big Story Podcast, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Hit us up. And we are wherever you get podcasts. Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. Please rate us, review us, give us some suggestions. We love hearing from you. Thank you for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.